This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Personal foul. Defense, number 6.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How does it sit with you when you hear the conversation? The officials are in the Chiefs' pocket.
Oh, and a flag comes in late.
The fact that you're looking out for anyone is a myth.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman, actor Chase Stokes. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 2, the Rich Eisen Show on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Infinity Sports Network. Also on Sirius XM channel 375, the Roku Sports channel. Odyssey app is the way you can stream us. For your ear gate, there's our podcast, All 3 Hours. I chilled out with Susie and Amy on What the Football yesterday. Chris Brockman and I have Overreaction Monday. That's been out there for now 2 days, the podcast version of it. TJ Jefferson and O'Shea Jackson Jr., the star of Den of Thieves 2, Pantera.
Yeah.
He's going to be in studio with you. And who are you chit-chatting with today as you brought?
The WWE Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. The title has great lineage. It's Bron Breakker.
Very good.
Yes.
That'll be on. And then Jim Jackson's guest on Thursday is Maurice Claret.
Hey.
I wonder what they're going to talk about.
football team in the Midwest.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. So Ben Johnson is the newest head coach of the Chicago Bears. And, I mean, how many of these hires, in retrospect, should have been done last year that we're seeing?
Well, I think we're 2 for 2 with Mike Vrabel and Ben Johnson.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. And we'll see, you know, who the Dallas Cowboys hire. You know, could have been done last year is one way to look at it. Should have been done last year when you're looking at it through the lens of what happened this year. And how different it could have been in Chicago if Ben Johnson was attached to Caleb Williams right from the get-go. How different would the Lions' season have been?
Right.
That's a butterfly effect that just trickles down.
Right. I mean, and watching Dan Quinn currently speak with the media on Conference Championship Wednesday, where everybody's having their shot with the media and vice versa prior to the big championship weekend. There's Dan Quinn with the W on his chest. He could have the star on his chest if not for sticking with the coach for one more year that you weren't going to keep anyway.
You also have to look at Rich. Like Dan Quinn for himself did a great job because he could have left the year before and taken a job.
That's true, too.
But he waited, and obviously he landed in the right spot.
But so. In terms of, you know, Ben Johnson, I guess for the Bears, better late than never. Certainly, if you think that Caleb Williams will not bring the mental scars of whatever he went through this past season into next season, and that might actually be a better piece of clay for Ben Johnson to help mold. And Ben Johnson had this to say about his reasons for taking the job, because last year he had his choices and turned them all down to go back to Detroit as the offensive coordinator. And I'm sure they gave him maybe an extra, you know, on top of the comma to actually stay, in the same way that maybe Tampa's done with their offensive coordinator. Liam Cohen announced today that he's removing himself from the Jaguars head coaching position to stay in Tampa for the NFC South winning Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At any rate, Ben had his choice last year and had this to say about why he took the Bears job now.
And there's several reasons why I wanted this job. The first is this place. For the last 10 plus years, my family and I have been coming up for a Cubs series every summer. And it doesn't take long to realize that this place is special. These people are special. Number two is this roster that Ryan's already built. It is stocked. It's loaded. Everyone wants to talk about the quarterback. And Caleb, I'm excited to work with you, but it's going to take more than just you. And there are a lot of pieces already in place. And I can't wait to get to work with the rest of you guys. And then finally, I wanted to stay in this division. I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. I haven't competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, we're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Oh, boy, he just kind of giggled a little bit there. Now that's the red meat that Lovey threw out there. Remember he took the job? Said the first order of business is beating the Green Bay Packers. We're going to have goals. Yeah. Beat the Packers, win your division, win the conference, win the Super Bowl. Well, he did all of that with the exception of winning the Super Bowl. Got to it. So there's the red meat for you. Ben serving up the red meat.
Fan base has to love that.
Well, this is why they were excited to have him. He's talking it up. He also walked the walk or called the calls in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And that's the question, the leader of men question, and how he's going to run the organization and whether that's a culture that he brings. What is his culture? How can he affect it? But he obviously knows how he's talking to the fan base. Hey, I came for Cubs games. What, are you going to piss off the White Sox people? With their five wins. I took care of it for you, Ben. No, but, you know, you're talking about the Northsiders, and you're giving them, hey, I love coming. By the way, Chicago, in the summer, when you go there.
It's amazing.
It is unreal.
It is the greatest,
It's one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
Yeah.
Like, man, everybody should work here. And everybody should live here.
Until the winter comes.
Yeah, it's going like,
But other than that.
No, I know.
You're right. Chicago's great.
I remember when I went to school there, Northwestern. Bill Curtis was doing the CBS local news talking about the Polar Express pulling into town. Anybody who wonders what Bill Curtis is, he was the voiceover on Anchorman.
Oh.
Yes. And listen, the Chicago sports town, and everybody knows, despite the Jordan stuff and the... I know I just... boil down the Chicago dynastic years as the Jordan stuff. But, and the Cubs stuff, Bears win and give you a parade down Michigan Avenue. Look out. Okay. Like that's what it's about. And that's what fans are expecting out of Ben Johnson, to wave a wand and turn Caleb Williams into the best draft choice from the quarterback class of 2023. And good luck with that. And that's got nothing to do with Caleb. It's got to do with Jaden Daniels, and it's got to do with whatever he can affect from Caleb that he wasn't able to affect. And the answer to that is get him the damn protection up front, A, and B, come up with the plays that makes him comfortable and gets him playing like the kid we saw at USC. That's the answer, obviously. And I think Ben Johnson knows it. The question is, how will they go about and do it? But for Bears fans who wants that, who've been looking for that big splashy hire, winning the press conference moment, I don't know the last time they had one of them. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I was like, hey, everybody, here's your new head coach. And everybody in town is like, yes. And I love how he said, I respect all the coaches. It's kind of, he did give with an all due respect before showing the back of his hand to Matt LaFleur, who probably spat out his Cabernet wherever he was sipping it in Green Bay for that. Good luck.
I can't wait to see some of the plays that he comes up with.
We'll see.
For this offense. Because, Chris, like, there are certain plays that Detroit would run, and I'd be like, why are you pulling this out now? Like, why wouldn't you wait?
There was one that Brady mentioned during the divisional round. He's never seen it before, where it was, what, was it a handoff to, or is a flip back to Amon-Ra St. Brown from David Montgomery? Brady said he'd never seen it before. You know, I'm sitting there with Coop, and he's like, so that's a run for Montgomery and then a pass as well, receiving yards.
I'm excited for Keenan Allen to throw a backbreaking interception in a playoff game.
Well, again, now that, you know,
why do you want to start with the Bears?
No,
fans,
I mean,
bro.
No,
just trying to rile everybody up?
No. He's always going to give you he's just always going to try and give you the other way of the coin, which is.
That was a dumb play call.
That was not
at that moment in time.
That wasn't his best, that's for sure.
Keenan's got a better arm, though.
So. I'm just kidding. I'm excited for Bears fans. I mean, okay. How can you not be inspired? You got a guy who's the hotshot coordinator in the league, and now you're pairing him up with your number one potential franchise-changing draft pick.
This is what you got to do. And I will say this. I will say this. He's got to do, and I know we're all comparing, Cliff Kingsbury with Jaden Daniels, and Kingsbury could have been the guy. What he's got to do is what Dave Canales did for Bryce Young, which is we're going to bring in an offensive guy and hook him up with our quarterback, who in year one seemed lost at times and lost a lot of games and got hit a lot. And we need to see the kid that we drafted first overall. And this year we did, after they benched him. Like that's what the Bears want. Like, you see what just happened with Bryce Young? Because I'll tell you what, Caleb didn't win too many more games than Bryce Young did in the first year.
No, he didn't. But statistically, he was pretty good. 63%, 3,500 yards, only 6 interceptions. Like, he did play well. They just didn't win a lot.
They also didn't help him. Protection-wise and scheme-wise, they just didn't. Now then, you got to just wonder again, with Ben Johnson, the culture that he's brought to the equation. Don't know it. The other guy who's been hired in this cycle, who could have been hired and should have been hired 1 year ago, but wasn't, we know the culture he's bringing. That's Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, Christopher, you were hoping for it and you got it.
I was.
Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator.
Fantastic.
Of the New England Patriots. And he is nothing short of exactly what the doctor ordered. In the same way that Vrabel is what the doctor ordered for the front office and the owner's suite and the fan base and the we understand who we are, what we've been, where we want to go back again. He is the culture installer. that the Patriots fans hoped that Gerard Mayo would still continue, but didn't. And bringing McDaniels in is exactly what was needed. You take a look at McDaniels' numbers as the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots throughout his tenure, and they have just been nothing short of spectacular in that regard. You take a look at the win-loss, 115-46. Obviously, that's Brady-infused, but don't forget his last year there was as the offensive coordinator in Mac Jones' first year, and that was when everybody thought it might be a seamless transition from one to the other. Total yards per game. Again, I understand there's a lot of the Brady on the screen too, but McDaniels brought it out.
He was calling the plays. He was drawing them up with Tom. And I know he's now he's doing with a second-year player.
Spectacular.
But, I mean, I think the thing that's most encouraging is you just saw what he did with Mac Jones in 2021. They made the playoffs that year. I know they got smoked by Buffalo, but they still made it. Mac Jones, you know, was an alternate, but he did have a Pro Bowl season. He was in the top 100 on the NFL Network players list. Like, it was a success.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And you're bringing in also somebody who knows the culture that you're trying to install. Yeah. He also brings you back to the future. That's what the Patriots need. And also in the same way the Lions say to Ben Johnson, okay, here's the mold of clay drafted right before Jaden Daniels. McDaniels is now being told, here's the lump of clay selected after Jaden Daniels. And I think you could state the case that Drake May had a better rookie season than Caleb Williams. Maybe not numbers. There were times when you would look at May and it's just like the light is on there. And with Caleb Williams, you would wonder, does he understand what he's seeing sometimes? You would ask those questions. You would hear it from the tape heads, the all 22 people, and the scheme and all of that stuff. I mean, honestly, to come in and Vrabel knows what McDaniels is going to do. The fan base knows what McDaniels is going to bring. It's going to be see it, throw it. Get it out. It's going to be a lot of quick game, right?
A lot of the stuff that you saw
with Brady, they will install for May, and maybe he can do the same damn thing even better than his number sake before him. And then, you know,
he's got the running element. That's what Patriots have never had, you know, going back to the 80s. He can run the ball. He can make plays with his feet, which is what you need in today's modern NFL.
And we'll see what McDaniels does with him. And then they hired a defensive coordinator, too. They reported, or they're going to hire, Terrell Williams, who Vrabel had on his staff in Tennessee coaching the defensive line and the assistant head coach. I mean, that Tennessee front four was always
awesome.
Stupendous. Yep. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons was brought to bear from the middle of it. And then when Vrabel left, Williams was the defensive line coach in Detroit and the run game coordinator there. How was Sonic and Knuckles looking in that coordinated run game?
Yeah, Sike, that's a huge hire.
So the CEO head coach of the Patriots has made two really good hires in my estimation. And one in Chicago, you're wondering, what's the culture that the coach is going to install? We'll find out. I'm not saying he's unable to do it or he won't be able to affect it or we won't find out what the Ben Johnson culture is. But the other one, we absolutely know what it is. And it's exactly what the doctor ordered for New England. My goodness, are those two terrific coordinator hires on top of Vrabel being brought back with his red jacket and all. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a break here. Bruce Feldman's going to come on out, fresh back from Atlanta, which means he's not so fresh.
Oh, we made it.
I'm he's in our green room. So the answer is yes. Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax. And they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Look who's here from Fox Sports and The Athletic. None other than Bruce Feldman back here from Atlanta. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you guys.
So what was longer? The longest Jeremiah Smith catch of the season or the TSA line leaving Atlanta?
The TSA pre-check line was, that could be, there was a stat somebody said about, oh, this person had, it totals up, it was a Berman line. Somebody, eight miles of yardage or whatever. That's what it felt like the TSA pre-check line was.
Because it was just freezing cold and everyone was trying to get out of town.
I think you have two huge fan bases coming in from a three-day weekend
right. And
everything. Like, look, I mean, there's enough other stuff going on where I don't want to, you know, I won't be the one complaining about that. But it's just whoa, this is different.
Yeah, right. And probably more de-icing than the airports used to having, too.
Yeah,
right?
I have a buddy who was supposed to leave yesterday.
Still there?
Won't be out of there till tomorrow.
Jeez.
Whoa.
So.
Wow. So, and the way that he got to the airport was the golf cart driver for Ryan Day?
That's what it seemed like.
On top of it, too?
Yeah, that was the one to get away from.
That poor young lady, right? He's taking a beating this week.
Is that right? She just drove right on the wall.
It was pretty bad.
Well, at least as I was saying yesterday, if you're going to have if an Ohio State coach in the national championship game is going to have a golf cart moment, you'd rather have that one than having
the pizza box. I knew you were on there. Yeah.
Sad pizza eating. You know, we don't want that.
No. Sad pizza. How can you be sad eating pizza? It's so good.
Well, you lost the picture?
Huh? I know. But they lost, right, after that?
Yeah.
They lost it, yeah.
Wasn't that the picture after he lost to Michigan State, though?
Is that the sad pizza one? I thought it was the national championship game.
No.
This one right here?
I thought that was after losing to Michigan State.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd binge eat pizza losing to Michigan State, too, if I was Urban Meyer. Or anyway, just even me.
I think that might have been the game where they only got, like, Zeke Elliott, like... touches
back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk on the radio network, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Bruce Feldman back from the national championship game. Your first blush thoughts are what?
The best team won. They were the best team in college football. They played really well. I mean, you talk about their first five series against a really good defense, really well-coached team at Notre Dame. They scored four touchdowns, and I give Notre Dame a lot of credit because at one point it was 31-7. You know, they have a first crazy drive where it's 10 minutes and just grind it out with Riley Leonard get on the board first. Then Ohio State just answers, and Ohio State's just so good on both sides of the ball. And it feels like Notre Dame is really getting blown out of the building. And for a lot of folks, I'm sure a lot of people at home, they're like, oh yeah, I remember Notre Dame in a national title game back in the Brian Kelly Manti Te'o days when Alabama just destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
And to Notre Dame's credit, they made a big play on defense when Ohio State was driving again, punched the ball out, got a fumble, and then got it interesting. You know, like, that takes a lot for a team to go up and be that resilient, to keep fighting, keep battling. Credit to Marcus Freeman and them. And obviously it didn't go the way Notre Dame wanted it to end, but I thought it was, you know, it was a really, you know, if you're sitting there looking, you know, at the pictures of the guys on the sideline, I mean, I couldn't have been much more impressed, because that's a team that they're without their best cover guy. Again, they play a lot of man, and Benjamin Morrison's been out for most of the season. They're without their best pass rusher, Riley Mills. And I know a lot of teams have injuries, and certainly Ohio State, they're without their center and their first round probably talent left tackle. But Notre Dame, to see how far they've come, especially under Freeman, has been pretty impressive. And I thought, just, you know, we were around Ohio State a lot, especially this year.
Yes.
And
on Fox
a lot. And I think knowing Ryan Day for a long time, knowing Ryan Day's family for a lot, like, that was my story after the game, was to talk to his wife and his kids and his father-in-law and people really close to him about what they've endured, way more than, you know, in the story. His father-in-law, who Ryan's known since he was like nine,
mm-hmm.
from New Hampshire, is a legendary Division II basketball coach, was up for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Just a wonderful man, great sense of humor. And he was like, you know, my daughter grew up as a daughter of a coach in a coaching family. But no, coaches, you got a lot of stress, and the mom usually has to, you know, run the household because, you know, the dad's all, you know, hours are crazy and travel is crazy and everything else. But this other stuff that they dealt with.
Like what? I know you wrote about it. Give it out.
The threats that the family dealt with to need round the clock protection.
This is after the loss to Michigan?
This is after the loss to Michigan. Talking to Ryan Day's son, RJ, is a really talented young quarterback. He's only a sophomore in high school. But talking to him, he was like, you know, school was really rough. He didn't go out much till after the Tennessee game. You got to remember, that's like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like Tennessee happened the week later. They didn't play Tennessee for like 3 weeks after Michigan game. So, you know, I think that's really hard. They have two young, RJ is the oldest, but then two younger girls, and they know what's going on. And I think that's, you know, mind blowing in that regard. And I give a ton of credit to Nina Day. That's Ryan Day's wife, how she handled it. She was very, and she told me she was really worried, because in this day and age, you got to take everything seriously, especially when it comes to things of that nature. And on top of this, the symbolism she pointed out to me, or the symmetry of this, the national title game was Monday, January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
It was also the anniversary of when Ryan Day is a little boy, he loses his father. His father dies by suicide. I mean, the gravity of all that is just remarkable. So, you know, from the human component, you had to be, even if you're a Michigan fan, I think you have to feel for that family.
Well, the question I have then, not to turn this into a therapy mm-hmm. session, but what do we take away from this? What do you take away from the Ohio State fan base? And that I'm not painting it as a one big brush. But there, I mean, that sounds like there's a lunatic fringe, which is exactly what Kirk Herbstreit said and got eviscerated by a lot of Buckeye fans for saying such a thing. Because I'm sure he was well aware of what you're referring to right now at the time that came out of his mouth in the booth when Tennessee was being destroyed by Ohio State and starting to turn the page to eventual national championship. What's the takeaway here? That they, you know, 4 games later, now it's all good? Like, is that what we're saying now?
Somebody had kind of half-kiddingly said, I think we'll be okay for a couple of weeks. You know, I don't have any concept of how small the percentage is of people who would go to that length. I think what you have to, you know, figure, you know, sort out with this is there are people And look, it's not just the fans or people in the national media with big voices who will sit there and say, oh, if he loses to them again, he should be fired. If he lost to Tennessee, he should be fired. The guy is now 70-10 all time as a coach, right? Jim Harbaugh lost a lot of games to Ohio State. For a long time, he could not beat them.
Yes.
Obviously, he remedied that.
Can't confirm that.
Yeah, and so yeah. I think people can say, oh, they're making X amount of millions of dollars and everything is justified in the pressure on that. But I think there's also some other parts of this where you're like, okay, who are you going to get who's going to do a better job than this guy did? Now, that was before he won a national title. He's the one who is the architect of this program. I mean, he's done a really good job hiring a really good staff, but I think, you know, you asked me about like, what's the takeaway from this? You know, you can wag the finger at people who don't have perspective and at all, but look at, you know, that's kind of the society we're in right now. It's a really, it's a really toxic place in a lot of places in, you know, online. And I think that stuff is unfortunately, it's out there, you know? And I think my takeaway was something Nina Day told me the other night, which is like, you know, you get knocked down, people fail. The most important thing is you got to get back up and you got to fight. And I think that is a great lesson. I mean, again, to their credit, is you don't have to be an Ohio State fan, I think, to buy into this part. I mean, Ryan Day's been really proactive and vocal about talking about mental health issues because of what he has been through from a time he was really young. And I think those are important issues to for him with his platform to use. And hopefully that stuff will now, when you become a national championship coach, when you become a Super Bowl winning, whatever it is, your platform grows so much more significantly. Obviously he had a platform because he was a head coach at Ohio State, but just when you have those credentials onto it. I mean, as a quick aside, I remember Mike Leach's book, we were working on it and he had his agent has also represented Tom Coughlin. And Tom Coughlin won Super Bowls with the Giants. And I remember thinking, well, I mean, he's obviously a terrific coach, but like nowhere as interesting as Leach was. But then the idea is, well, when you win a Super Bowl, you have the magnitude behind you. It doesn't matter, you know, beyond that. And I, again, to say that to get to this is like, I think for Ryan Day's position now as there's only a couple other guys who are still in college football who coaching now active. Who have won national titles?
Yeah, with Harbaugh and he, across the
Mac
street.
Mac Brown's gone. Saban's gone. I mean, they're not working. It's basically Kirby Smart, Dabo, and now him. I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling that few of the guys, the last guys who won, are all out of the business. Mac Brown, who won a long time ago, Ed Ogeron, who won it at LSU. Obviously, Saban won a bunch of them. I mean, those guys aren't there anymore. Obviously, you know, Harbaugh's in the NFL. But now Ryan Day joins a very, very small fraternity.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's just stir it up a little bit here, if you don't mind. Do we live in a Big Ten world now? What do you think? Has the balance shifted?
Yeah, I mean, you have to go back to another one of your arch rivals. Michigan State won back-to-back in the 60s, 1960s,
right,
under Duffy Doherty. That's the last time the Big Ten had back-to-back national champs.
Well, and now with Oregon part of the conference, Saban sitting on a television set, you know,
It's a different world in the NIL and the portal has changed the dynamic a lot because right now it was harder to like store, you know, elite prospects and elite talent because a lot of the times those guys are leaving as freshmen and go to play someplace else. And so I think it's why some of the talent has also been scattered around. I mean, South Carolina had a really good team this year. They had five-star guys and big time difference maker guys who are at South Carolina now, where maybe 5 years ago they would have been at Georgia or they would have been at Alabama. It's not to say that those teams aren't still really talented, but they're not as talented or that much more talented than some of these other places. So some of that SEC talent now is in Oxford, Mississippi. Certainly some of it is now in the Big Ten. A lot of it is in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Caleb Downs just...
They have the two best players in college football. One came from South Florida, Jeremiah Smith. The other one was on Nick Saban's roster.
And how many are coming back?
Well, those two guys are. One's definitely the best player in the country. I mean, J.J. Smith is incredibly talented. He's only going to keep getting better because you hear about his work ethic and his drive.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Downs is an elite defensive back and a leader. They went in the portal. They've got two really good offensive line, offensive tackle guys to step in. They have a really good tight end they added who, the guys inside the program tell me that kind of reminds them of Zach Ertz. So that's a plus. They're losing Will Howard, who I don't think until late Monday night got enough credit for being
He was superb.
Yeah, he was.
He was superb. I was equating him to Phil Simms in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, what was he? Didn't miss. It was 22 of 25 or 23 of 25. Yeah, he didn't.
And the throws were awesome. They were exactly where he needed to be. He had a full command. He used his legs appropriately. He stayed away from the big hit, which he did not do against Michigan. He was terrific.
He was really smart. And I think, they have a lot of talent around them. They just, two terrific running backs. The defense is so good.
Those guys are violent.
I know.
They make moves in the hole. My God, do they make moves in the hole. In between tackles. They're terrific.
Has always been like a wow running back. You saw it on the 75-yard screen pass right before halftime in the semifinal game. You saw Judkins. They talk about Judkins, about, his toughness and what he brings.
Right.
I mean, they'll still be really good. They are losing a boatload of outstanding college football players at all three levels. We talk a lot about, and rightly so, about Jack Sawyer and JTT, the two at defensive ends. They've been there forever. And Cody Simon is a guy that, knowing James Laurinaitis, who's a linebacker coach, cannot stop raving about him, mm-hmm. not just what he's on the field, but the sacrifice and the selflessness and all the things that I think become integral when you're going to have a national title team. Because what I think was an eye-opening thing for a lot of us who cover the sport day in and day out is it really felt like there was two different seasons. It was the first season, which was, and maybe this is something like I don't cover the NFL year round, but it's like there's the regular season, which is long, and then there's the playoffs, which also can be long because talking to Chip Kelly after the national title game, his point was about the Michigan loss was you can sit and look there and go, okay, back in the day, if you lose your last regular season game, you may be going to like the Blue Bonnet
Bowl. Yeah, you're toast.
And he said, so it's either you have to look at it, you can look at it one of two ways. It's either a tombstone or a stepping stone. And clearly that program believed that it was going to be a stepping stone. And I think the way they prepared and managed, I think there's a lot of things that other coaches are going to take from how this is, because it's just a different world. They both played 16 games, and they could have, Notre Dame couldn't have played 17 because there's no conference title game.
Right.
But if Penn State had gotten there, or if Ohio State did play in the big, they would have played 17 games.
So did Chip Kelly say that the loss to Michigan was actually big in their, I'm not trying to troll here. I'm not. Like, he had his fun yesterday with Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday saying Michigan shouldn't have planted the flag. That was
the impetus. I don't.
But did Chip Kelly basically say to Michigan?
He didn't say it like that. But a couple of weeks ago at the Rose Bowl, I remember Tyleek Williams, who's an outstanding defensive tackle, was like, that was a wake up call. That was something that a lot of players talked about after the Rose Bowl.
You're welcome, and I'm just glad Michigan's national championship run, we didn't have to have that as a stepping stone. There were other issues that Michigan had to overcome.
What are you talking about? You had like 7 years in a row of being the stepping stone. Like that, I know enough Michigan people inside that program talked about beat Ohio period. It was like,
sure.
I think Ohio State had an integral role in Michigan upping its game.
Oh, no question.
That's the way it should be.
That's the way I totally agree. Can I keep you one more segment? Because I want to talk about Prime, and I want to talk about, before I let you go on the day, I would like to talk about, now that the college football playoff 12 teams, we've seen it, what the industry thinks of it and what tweaks might be coming. I'd like to get that. That's Bruce Feldman right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Back here on the Roku Sports Channel in a moment, but on the Infinity Sports Network, here's Rich Ackerman with an update. Rich?
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
In the NFL, as we all know, there is no margin for error. One single mistake can change the outcome of a game or even, yeah, a career. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. Putting it all together, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL is Sleep Number, whose mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And you can have it too. I know all about it. I've been around Sleep Number since 2015. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. We can set the mattress firmness on each side of the bed to the way that we want and get a great night's sleep. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose, again, your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the lowest price of the season on the top-selling i8 smart bed. Your best savings plus special financing. Limited time. Shop a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience will rejoin us shortly, but a couple things I want to hit you on before they do. What is the college football community talking about Jaden Daniels right now?
I think a lot of people are really happy for him, you know, because he is a guy who kept getting better. And there was a lot of cutting edge stuff that he did with Jack Marucci, who's like
the VR stuff you're talking about.
And
because he's apparently still doing it.
Yeah.
And he's still, everybody's still crediting the fact that the VR stuff helps him see the game. And so his ability to do what he's doing
and process
and make decisions
and
see it. Everybody's saying these VR goggles are the major thing.
So Jack Marucci, who I would argue is as brilliant a guy as there is working in sports, longtime trainer at LSU. I mean, for like 30 years.
Is this from the Bat family?
He is Marucci Bats from that. Started out like, should have him
someday.
Just a
sold.
Incredibly humble guy to the point where you're like, wait, that's you? Kind of like, uh-huh. Yeah, I think he started out making like 5 bats maybe for Manny Ramirez in his backyard and only sent him.
What was in him? Sorry.
The best
Keep
wood
going.
Apparently possible.
Wow.
But
wow.
So he did that, but also he's been involved with people in internationally who had this technology, and Jaden Daniels really bought into it. And he went from being a good dual threat quarterback to a record setting Heisman winner to a guy who's now tearing up the NFL as a rookie.
Tearing it up.
It's a great story because when he was at Arizona State, I felt like he was kind of a one man, you know, it was a mess with Herm. There was all kinds of screwball stuff going on there. They had NCAA issues, you know, around, and he was a good player, but I don't think anybody saw this. And now, I mean, just the fact that what he's done so far, like if you had said to me, a year ago at this time, like I'm buying CJ Stroud. I thought he was clearly what should have been the first pick of the draft because he's so accurate and he checked off all the boxes. You know, he's pretty athletic. He's really smart. He sees the game. He's really competitive. He's really driven, all those things. But he's incredibly accurate. To see where Jaden's done has been.
He surpassed it. He's the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen. I've ever seen, you know, and, because all the other rookies who have gotten to the conference championship level, including Ben Roethlisberger, who didn't lose a game his rookie season until the championship game, they were all game managers, or at least that was the way that the coaches were coaching them. These coaches are like, keep doing it, Jaden. And as a matter of fact, the high leverage situation you were just in quarter numbers 2, it's going to be more high leverage in quarter three and then quarter four, and we're going to still do it, and it's going to be fourth down, and it's going to have the game on the line. And they're like, go do it. They want him to do that, and now they expect him to do that because the rest of the team has bought into it. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, it's also the franchise he's changed.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time it was like, oh, that guy's the face, you know, Daryl Green? I mean, like...
Well, I mean, I guess RG3 might be the...
For a minute.
For a season. Correct.
Yeah. Then look, I mean...
Correct.
Yeah, this is...
It's unprecedented.
I mean, they didn't get to this level.
That is correct. Oh, he lost to Russell Wilson, who was the last rookie quarterback to win a playoff game on the road since Jaden Daniels, who's now won two of them. And if he wins this weekend, he'll be the first quarterback in playoff history to eliminate the 1, 2, and 3 seeds in his own conference. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, we're here with Bruce Feldman. So what is the general sense now that the 12-team playoff is done? What do people think about it? What do you think?
I think people loved the what it did for not just the regular season, but I think there was intrigue about... They really liked that it was on, that some of the games were on college campuses. I think they would like to see more of that, but mm-hmm. I think you're also they're not severing ties with the bowl people that have had long-standing relationships. So I think that's not changing. I would have suspected some point. So they had the leaders of the sport got together on Sunday just for like an hour and a half. And if there was any tweaks or changes they were going to make, they had to be made. They had to be voted on unanimously, I think, which is harder to do. I think you'll see more change, real change, a year from now when they can, and they don't need it to be 100% approved that there can be.
Why was this? It's just a bylaw that they're all going to.
Well, I think what's going to change, though, is you have so much power that is with the head of the Big Ten, the head of the SEC. I don't know, you know, how that dynamic is going to help the people who are on the lower end of the food chain. But, you know, how the seeding happened, remember, we had, what was it, like a 7 and an 8 playing? I mean, they weren't the 7th and 8th best team.
Hey, man, we had Ward Manuel on the day after the field was set and the brackets were set. And he's just like, they just went 1 through 12 and it just came out the way it came out. And I agree with you 100%. And, you know, we had Dan Wetzel of Yahoo on, and he said when they first came up with the idea that the Power Five, four of them would have to get the byes, mm-hmm. it was done when there was a Pac-12. It was done when Texas and Oklahoma were in the Big 12. Yeah. And now things have changed that it shouldn't be done that way. You know, we should see maybe a runner-up of a conference get a bye over a winner of another conference. When you're using common sense eye test and things of that nature, and I understand that makes things more subjective and open for debate and anger, but let's get this right. We think what should be done is the bye week teams get a home game too. Now you're messing with the bowls, which is a big problem.
That is a big issue. I know this from talking to one of the coaches who played a first round game, and he was on a road team, mm-hmm. and he said the home field advantage is huge. Because everything has to be like a silent count. You're not getting off the ball as fast as the other team. I mean, you looked at the biggest example of that was, I think Kevin Jennings, yes, was a new quarterback's a pretty good player. He had a nightmare of a day going into Happy Valley, and it was like noon, but you know, he was like a turnover machine because he looked rattled, not just by the noise, but also the cold. There's like different elements. I mean, you talk to people who are at Ohio State, they were like, Tennessee didn't even want to be there that night. You know, they felt like.
And you would think if Oregon does win the Big Ten, they should have gotten whoever was their first round opponent at home. Stick them up there in Oregon, which is one of the toughest places to win. Like that, if they are the number one seed of the entire thing, you know, so
make the regular season count more because I'm a firm believer the college football season is long, but it's not as long as certainly any other sport, but you don't want to devalue the regular season. And I feel like if you gave that kind of reward for it, I think that would add incentive to the regular season. I mean, the part that I struggle with is, And, you know, there was a lot of pushback after the first round of the games. Indiana, you know, gets beaten pretty handily by Notre Dame, and SMU gets drilled. But then all of a sudden, you know, like later in the at the end of the first round, Tennessee from the SEC also gets smacked around by Ohio State. But I think people are sitting there going, wait, your team, and this is especially the SEC teams, that was going to get the benefit of the doubt, or usually does, but you're going to have three losses, and it's one thing to have like one bad loss, but you have like a bad loss and then a couple other losses that are like not against elite teams. It's like you can't have that many mulligans, right, and still make the playoff. And I think that's the thing that you want to, you can look at Indiana's resume. And by the way, Indiana ended up losing to the national champs, and they ended up losing to a team that played for the national title. And, you know, they did beat a team that beat Alabama in the bowl game, you know. So I think it's just like, hey, you're not, and when you have a 12-team playoff, and even if it ever ends up at 16, the resumes are going to be flawed because you have that many more. It's not four anymore.
The
it's
national
12.
Champion lost two games, including one of the worst losses by that team in the history of their rivalry. Honestly, one of the Michigan team that beat them was one of the, as you know, more troubled,
limited,
limited versions of Michigan. But so we you need
you
to throw
grow,
it.
Yeah.
You need to throw out the. I mean, a sixth seed in the NFL might win the Super Bowl. Right? You know what I'm saying? So
and we accept we accept that.
We do.
More.
So
didn't the Giants win a Super Bowl as a wild card a long time ago?
Of course they did. So, I mean, we've seen six seeds do it multiple times. And we don't bat an eye in the professional sport, but the reason why is because the schedule amongst everybody in the NFL is as close to even in college football when they're choosing who to play and when and what the bye week is and all that on their own. That's the issue. You gotta handle all of that. That might actually make the playoff better if you do. And so a two or three loss team can still make it, and we won't bat an eye, and they might win the whole damn thing too. Like, we just saw that. So in the 2 minutes I have left with you, is Deion going anywhere, or is he staying put?
I had heard Tennessee has stepped up. I heard Colorado had stepped up pretty significantly.
What, NIL and stuff like that, or for him?
For him.
Okay.
I know Rick George, the AD, has a lot of value for Deion and what he's meant to the program. Not only meant to the program, meant to the school, meant to the state, all of it. You know, it's just what are his options going to be? You know, if Deion could be an NFL head coach, does that make him sit there and go, okay, you know, this is a place, this is the next chapter for me? I know, having been around his program and him some, and just being there at the Alamo Bowl, the part that you probably can't get the same in the NFL is helping develop young men and mm-hmm. take them from a place in their lives where there's uncertainty and you know, you can be transformational in that role. That part I get.
And it's really, that's important to Deion, for real.
Yeah. Like, and
he
so
loves that.
You know, it's just going to be a different chapter if he stays there. I like whatever Colorado has to do to keep him financially, if there's no NFL in the thing. It's like, to me, that would, and it's obviously easy for say, it's not my money,
right?
But it's like, that would seem like a no-brainer, because without him, the program is and was totally irrelevant. And with him, it is nationally relevant. You can hate Deion if you're, you know, if you're sick of all the coverage and content and all, but people pay attention to it, and they got a lot better with him there. So, you know, what is it going to, it's two pieces. It's the NFL. Like, I don't know how much Colorado can compete with the NFL if the NFL comes for him.
Right, Bruce.
But if it doesn't, it's like, okay, what do we need to do to make sure that this relationship is still thriving?
You know, and when you look at it overall, I could see why Deion would want to move to the Cowboys. It doesn't look like the Cowboys are going to hire him. Looks like they're going to, you know, they're already circling around either Kellen Moore or Brian Schottenheimer. The Raiders just hired a general manager from the Buccaneers, John Spytek, who Brady knows for forever and a day.
And, you know, they do have a head coaching position open. They could potentially draft his son. I don't know if that's what they're thinking or what the new general manager would be thinking. I know what the new general manager would be thinking. Brady would know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is going to be something that pops over the next few days for Prime. But other than that, just staying put and building this next iteration, no doubt one would think, even with the talent that's leaving, stronger version of what he's doing. I mean, the Big 12 is a path to a bye week, man. So you can be in the college football thing. We almost was this year.
And it's winnable, Rich, because you look and you saw Arizona State was picked to finish last in it. They had a young quarterback who's really talented, and Cam Scatterboo, who was an amazing story, came, no offers, went to Sac State, and you know, a lot of credit to Kenny Dillingham. But like, that program came out of nowhere. And they made it to the playoff, and they almost beat Texas, by the way. So
yeah, I know. And easily the best playoff game. You could say, was it the best playoff game, period? Or Ohio State-Texas got interesting at the end? You know what I mean?
Like, Arizona State-Texas was pretty awesome.
You're looking back at the entirety of the college football playoff. I think that was the best game.
Yeah, I think
so. And, but again, they're in the right conference to do that from.
Yeah.
Because anybody has a chance. I mean, BYU was picked to finish 13th. That was the team that obviously that blew them out in the Alamo Bowl. You know, BYU could be a top 15 team this year. They would have a chance. And we know Deion has two very coveted quarterbacks there. One was a big recruit from the state of Georgia. The other one was a prolific mid-major quarterback. The offensive line has definitely gotten better from where it was a year ago, and I think should keep improving. It's just, you know, again, I think Colorado is committed to taking another step with him, you know, but the program's going to feel a lot different just because they won't have Travis Hunter, won't have Shador. But if they still have Deion, I think they'll still be able to attract a lot of talent.
Well, they'll still have Bucky, right, doing all the social media, which means I think he's number one atop the Sanders depth chart.
Still number one.
Okay, very good. Thanks for coming in, Bruce Feldman. Back with Hour 3 in a sec.
Actor Michael Rosenbaum, he knows some of the most talented people in the business, and now he's getting the inside story.
Let's get inside of Heather Graham.
I can't look at like Boogie Nights and think that you were a nerd.
Johnny Knoxville.
You think you're going to do another Jackass movie? What do your kids want?
Dad's not going to do that. Yeah. You got to be careful how you choose your heroes.
Hear from some of the most fascinating people in pop culture today.
Danny Trejo.
You're a legend. Do you know you're a legend?
You can't be a legend having this much fun.
The Inside of You podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.